السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ، ونشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ، ونشہد ان سیدنا ونبینا وشفیعنا ومولانا محمدا عبدہ ورسولہ. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا فوسطن به جمعا ان الانسان لربه لكنود وانه على ذلك لشهيد وانه لحب الخير لشديد صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers and also sisters listening at the madrasa and over receivers, having just returned by the number of calls that I received from our brothers and sisters wanting to know whether there is a program, is an indication of their love for Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And many of them describe the two programs, the Monday night and Thursday night programs, as two injections. So if they don't have one or two, then they feel that it causes some kind of problem in their lives. Whereas injections are required to give us a boost, and thereafter slowly we must do away with those injections, with the medication, and we must live a normal life, practice on all that which we have heard, and it becomes easy to stay steadfast. But if we are going to say that until we don't have those two injections, that means if there's no program on a Monday or a Thursday or the other programs, Jumu'ah or Saturday night, sometimes we have the Sunday morning program, so then we are going to go back to those evils which we had given up of our lives, then that shows a great deficiency and weakness. As far as the Quran Sharif is concerned and the Ahadith, there's great nasihat in it, and that we have to continue listening until our dying day. Up till when do we have to make ibadat? وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Until our dying day, until the last day, until mouth comes, the person will have to continue obeying Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So on the one hand, it's a very good sign that the person is interested in listening, but at the same time, it must translate into action. Just listening, listening and listening will not get us anywhere. That will be knowledge. But I have mentioned many times that if an engineer, he does not translate his knowledge into action, after having qualified as an engineer, the person just frames his certificate on the wall and he brags about this great achievement of his, that he has become an engineer, he has all the knowledge of engineering. Or the person has become a doctor or a surgeon, or he has become anything else, he has become an accountant, and after the having achieved a very good pass in the examinations with regards to the knowledge of that particular subject, then he frames that certificate up and that's about all. Then he says, now that I've got the certificate, now I can go play cricket, football, rugby, golf, watch the television the whole day, go to the discos, rave clubs, cinemas. So will his knowledge be of any help to himself or to anybody else? So like that, the knowledge of the Quran Sharif, the knowledge of the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whichever we gain through the majalis of the ulama or through the tafasir of the Quran Sharif or through any other programs of deen that take place, then it must be translated into action. Hazrat Khaja Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi very rightly said, Waqt-e amal kab aayega? That all the knowledge in its place, but when will the time come now for the amal on that knowledge? So it's a good sign that although I just arrived a few hours ago, but lots of phone calls whether we're having a majlis or not, so I thought that since there is such desire to listen to something of Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so we'll have a majlis. It'll be for my own benefit. A short notice, we can't help. So I was making dua after the namaz. Allah Ta'ala must put some mazmoon. I know we were discussing another subject altogether, but those brothers probably didn't get the message, so therefore we left that for next time, inshallah. But tonight I decided to repeat, and after making dua, this mazmoon came back into the heart, which I discussed one of the Jumu'ah bayans. And that is the surah which everybody knows so well, Suratul Adiyat. Every ayat of the Quran Sharif is relevant to us. Every Hadith Sharif. But in particular, these surahs which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has revealed upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam towards the latter part or towards the end of the Quran Sharif, most of them discuss with the issue of the Akhirat. And that is the main problem with us, that we have become negligent with regards to the life of the hereafter. All of us, we hear so much of sudden deaths. 2 or 3 days ago, I went to meet one Maulana in the Transvaal at Mia's farm, Mufti Bashir. Because when I went there, they said everybody else is gone to Malawi and he is about the only one that is there. So I went to his home. Must have been after 15 years or so that I met him. And he got extremely happy. He was looking very fit. And he indicated that he wants to come to Durban. This was 2 days ago. And the next morning or day or two later, I get the message that he was taking a walk, collapsed, and passed away. Allah Ta'ala make his maghfirat, give him Jannatul Firdaus. He was the ustad of many, many students who were in Mia's farm in those days. Then again, there were so many other deaths which were very, very sudden over the weekend. So we are so negligent about that which is a reality. So in this surah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, I'm not going into tafsir or any detailed explanation, just the gist of it, because it is something that stirs our hearts, reminds us of the Akhirat and how negligent we are. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes qasam in the name of those horses, wal-adiyat zabha, meaning those horses which are running fast. And when the horses are running fast, so then they are panting, they're breathing heavily. Then the sound that comes out of their chest when they are running at a speed. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is taking a qasam. It's not necessary that it is only the jihad horses, but it is a reference to the horses of war. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving a description. And we all have imagination powers, and we can visualize and we can picture in our minds many, many things. So instead of picturing and visualizing and fantasizing about haram, we must use that power that Allah Ta'ala has given for visualizing, for imagining those things which will bring us closer to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and will encourage us, or which will inspire us to do those things which will lead us to Jannat and the Raza and pleasure of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now here we are thinking of some horses that are running very, very fast. Now the gamblers will immediately think of the July handicap horses. This has got nothing to do with July handicap horses. But of course that movement of those horses is extremely fast. But some people, they justify their gambling. They justify their horse race gambling from this ayat of the Quran Sharif. And this is the truth what I am telling you, that we are living in a world which is filled with fitnas. What people find for justification of their haram. And that is a major weakness of ours, that we are not prepared to acknowledge our sins and our shortcomings. We will find a justification. So even if we are sinful, or we have got shortcomings, or we got some weakness, we are engaging in some kind of sin, then don't find justification for it. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala detests and dislikes any person that seeks justification for his sins. How can we seek justification? Ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. His mercy knows no bounds and limits. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ocean of maghfirat is so vast that one drop from that ocean is sufficient to wash away the sins of the entire mankind. So why should we not seek forgiveness from him? And then if it is involving the rights of people, then we fulfill those rights. Namaz, roza, zakat, we make qaza, or give back the zakat. We pledge not to return to that sin. So in this way, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive that sin. Hazrat Mujaddid Millat rahmatullah alayh, he was invited to Dhaka. Or he was invited to Hyderabad. And at that time, the Nawabs were like our present day prime ministers. So he was invited there to give some talks. So that royal family, so in inverted commas, they were reluctant to come to the programs, besides the Nawab and a few others, but some of them were reluctant to attend the programs in the masjid or wherever he was having his programs. And they said that they must have a special program for them, where the general public will not be allowed to come and listen to whatever he's going to say. So he refused. He said that I'm not going to accept. Wherever I'm going to speak, it's going to be open to the public. They can come and listen to the bayan if they wish to. So then they very cleverly had a program a little distance away from the city and from his royal residence, so that people who have got cars or they can afford the transport, they only can make it there. The others cannot make it. In any case, when they were there, 90% of them were clean shaven. So now he had to speak on something that was relevant, something that was necessary for the kind of audience that he was talking to. What is the purpose of talking about the sky when there is a need to talk about the earth at that time? So he said that I told them in the bayan that if you are going to shave your beard, knowing fully well that it is not permissible, but you want to shave and you are going to shave, so then do one thing. He says, make one amal. That whilst you are shaving, look in the mirror, but in your heart, you must think that what you are doing is totally wrong. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was very, very annoyed and very, very angry when he saw even those non-Muslims who had come to arrest him without their beards. It's a long story. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized the keeping of beard. It's not one of those sunnats that if you wish to practice upon, then alhamdulillah, and if you don't wish to practice, then no problem. So he said, if you don't have the himmat to keep the beard, then at least do one thing. That when you're shaving, then at that time, Ya Allah, what a nalaiq I am. What a sinful servant of yours I am. How weak I am in my actions and amal. And how disobedient I am to you and to your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that I am shaving my beard. But it's my weakness, I just can't seem to resist the temptation. I'm explaining you in my words. So I'm shaving, but I'm not happy about what I'm doing. So he says, keep doing that, inshallah you'll get the tawfiq of giving it up. But how long is the person going to address himself that you are stupid, you foolish, you mad? Now all those words which we use for others, we must use it for our nafs. That you foolish, you stupid, you mad. You are trying to please the world. Qiyamah's day is going to come. How are you going to answer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for your doings and actions? Agar daadi ke rakh lene se chehra badnuma hota to phir daadi mere sarkar ki sunnat nahi hoti. Agar daadi ke rakh lene se chehra badnuma lagta to phir daadi mere sarkar ki sunnat nahi hoti. The person thinks that by keeping the beard his face will look ugly. So then it would not have been the sunnat of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala would not have given him the hukam to keep beard. It shows the beauty of the face is in the beard. But of course the person does not keep a beard that grows so long that the person looks like a rabbi. That is not right. Keep one fist, oil it, comb it. At least on the day of Qiyamah, the person can then say, Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Haqeeqat isko tu kar de main surat leke aaya hoon. What else have we got besides surat? We haven't got haqeeqat. People of haqeeqat were different from us. We have got the surat of the zahid. We have got the surat of the muttaqi. We have got the surat of the righteous and the pious. But where is the haqeeqat? Each and every one of us knows what is our haqeeqat. And we cannot hide the reality and the haqeeqat from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The zahir is extremely important. There is no question of ignoring the zahir. The pigeon's wings are clipped, it cannot take off. If the tires of an aeroplane are punctured, it is zahir, very small, little tires, but the aeroplane cannot take off. Even though it may have a brand new engine, it just came out from the manufacturing factories. So the zahir is important, but I have mentioned this many times that how long does it take for a person to put right his zahir? How long? To put right one's zahir, how long does it take? A person buys one kurta, he pulls his pants above the ankles, and he allows his beard to grow one fist length. Finish, his zahir is right. How long did that take? But to put the batin right, there is a great effort that has to be made. Great ulama after qualification, after having qualified at the institutions, they still went to put the batin right. And yet their batin was already right when they were studying. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, all these people, what did they go for? When somebody asked Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi that why did you go? What did you require? What shortage was there in your ilm and knowledge? He said that we had the whole list of mithais. We knew all the names of the mithais. This is jalebi, this is gulab jamun, this is halwa, this is barfi. But we had not tasted it. We went to Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah Alayhi to get a taste of those mithais. Although he may not have been qualified like us at an institution, but he had tasted the mithais. So we got a taste of that in his company. So the bathing takes a bit of time to put right. So we should not justify our sins, because then the bathing will never come right. If a person is going to justify his sins, then the bathing cannot come right, because what he is saying is that what he is doing is right. So the person who thinks that what he is doing is right, then will he make tawbah from that sin? So if there is something wrong, then acknowledge it. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is merciful, He is forgiving. Ask Him for forgiveness, and He is willing to forgive. So I don't know how we went on to that discussion, but here we come back to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is taking a qasam in the name of those horses. Yes, I think I was saying that some people are justifying their racing, the racing horses where they gamble. One is it just races, but one is gambling. Through this ayat, which is totally wrong, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them hidayat. So, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَ. So that panting, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is talking about that, of these horses. And then when these horses are striking their hoofs on stone, then the sparks that fly. We have seen horses running, and when the hoofs strike on stone, so then you find the sparks flying. So now we are picturing the horses are running extremely fast, and the sparks are also flying as they are going past with great speed. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ subha. Now the Arabs, they were not cowards. Their attacks also were in the early part of the morning. They were not hiding from the enemies and attacking like cowards. They didn't come midnight or past midnight and just bomb all the shelters and all the enemy forces and run away. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is talking about them attacking in the early part of the morning. And whilst the horses are attacking, then they leave a trail of dust. فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَ. A trail of dust, you know, the horses are running and they're leaving a trail of dust, and the dust is covering the horizon because of that part of the morning. Now these are things that we can picture. The horses, and they're attacking, and they're running with great speed, and they're raising dust. فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعَ. And then again they penetrate in the midst of the enemy forces. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving such a beautiful description. The enemy forces are there, and these horses are just going penetrating in the midst of these forces. And after all those qasams, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٍ. Verily man is very, very ungrateful to his Rabb, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now that was the jawab of the qasams. And that is what was the whole purpose of all these qasams. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving this description to make us understand that look at these horses, that they are not afraid of giving their lives for their masters. They are at the beck and call of their masters. They fulfill the command of the masters. The master is putting the horse into such a risky situation, but the horses are not scared. And why are they doing all this? Because the master has groomed that horse. The master has given it fodder. And that grass also, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala caused it to grow from the ground. The master did not really give anything from his side. Whatever was given to him was also provided by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, from which he gave to the horse what the requirement of the horse was. And that is the situation even with dogs, that we throw a few pieces of bone and they are prepared to guard the door of the master the whole night. And they will chase the enemies when they come. When the burglars come, they will bark and they will try to bite and they will race them out of the house. What did the master of the dog really do? Gave a few bones to that dog. did not even give any real place to sleep, but the dog is prepared to give its life. Now here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is talking about the horses, that look at them. The enemy forces, they can see the swords, and they can see, in our times we'll say the bullets are flying. And there is a danger of being bombed from above too. But these horses, whatever they are, it's not only jihad, even just the horses which are used for racing with great speed. But these horses of jihad that we are talking about, or war, they are prepared to give their lives, unconcerned about what is going to happen, just because that master has given them some kind of fodder. So, oh man, why are you so ungrateful to your Allah, who has given you not only fodder, not only the things that we eat and drink, like the horses. The horses eat only grass, or one or two things. Here, oh man, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given so many things to eat, so many things to drink, so much of ni'mats and bounties Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is pouring, showering upon us day and night, 24 hours. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with our sight, with our hearing, with our speech, with our heart, liver and lungs all functioning, with our intelligence. If we didn't have, then we would have been in some kind of an asylum. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has been so kind, so kind. There the horses are prepared to give their lives just because the master has given fodder, and here Allah Ta'ala has made us the paragon of creation, the crown of creation. He has given us everything. He has created the heavens and the earth for us. He has subjugated the sun, the moon, the stars and the waters of the ocean for us. Look at what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala hasn't given to men. Everything for the service of men. Animals, creatures, everything. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has made the whole universe for men. So we should take lessons from those horses, that they are prepared to give their lives in the war. They are not afraid that their lives will go. Jaan di di hubi usi ki thi, haq to ye hai ki haq ada na hua. Even if the life went, the life was given by him, the reality is this, that we haven't been able to do justice even after giving the life. And for us, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not testing us to give our life. Very few people are really in jihad. The rest of us, what is the test? Allah Ta'ala is only asking us to give up sins, that's all. And obey him, make our namaz, keep our fast, give zakat, go for hajj, fulfill the rights of parents, children, wives, husbands, earn halal livelihood, and enjoy a peaceful life. Make amar bil ma'ruf nahi anil munkar. Even that we are not prepared to do, yet Allah Ta'ala's ihsanat upon us are unlimited. Therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that وَإِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ. That man himself is a witness over this fact that he is ungrateful to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He is a witness himself. If he just looks a little into his heart, he will realize that what I am doing is definitely not befitting a person who has been blessed with so much of ni'mat by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. How can the person who is benefiting so much from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's ni'mat use those same bounties for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's disobedience? This is what I have been trying all the time. That whenever we are engaging and indulging in disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, stop for a moment and think, what am I using for his disobedience? Just a few seconds, what am I using for his disobedience? Either the person is going to use his wealth, he's going to use his sight, his hearing, his speech, his hands, his feet. Whatever he is going to use is going to be a ni'mat and blessing of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And he is using that for the disobedience of that very Allah. It is just his ihsan again and his fazl and his tolerance that he does not seize us there and then. If Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had to seize us the moment we committed evil deeds and actions, then none of us would be living in this world. We wouldn't have been surviving. Please close those windows. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is His fazal. So therefore Allah ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ. That means He's a witness. We all are witnesses to our own actions and our own deeds. And if we are believers and we have got a little bit of intelligence, then we will understand that what we are doing is wrong. That it is disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh, he says that وَإِنَّهُ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ وَإِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ. So he says here the kanood, that the person who remembers the calamities, who remembers the difficulties, who remembers the hardships, but he forgets the bounties. As we start concentrating and focusing all our attention on those difficulties and hardships that we are faced with in our lives sometimes. But at that time we forget those bounties of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala which are present. And in fact that is the cause of depression. People want to know depression. That is the major cause. That when there is a difficulty and a hardship and pain and suffering for some reason, then at that time also Allah ta'ala is blessing us with so much of His ni'mats, that if we focus on those ni'mats and those bounties, then our difficulty will fade away. The pain will be there, but the person will not lose hope. So he says that is what it means. Then Hazrat Abu Bakr Wasiti Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says what it means is that the person, the bounties that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given to him, he is using it for evil purposes. He is using it for evil purposes. That which is haram. And I mentioned in one of my bayans recently also, that the transliteration of haram is H-A-R-A-A-M. Haram. So there is harm in all haram. But if you take this English spelling, then there's double harm in haram. There's double harm. There is nothing of goodness in anything that is haram. Allah Ta'ala, who loves His creation, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who is the creator of man, He knows best what is good for man and not good for man. So if He has declared something haram for us, then we must believe that there's nothing but great harm in that. So who are we benefiting if we stay away from haram? We are benefiting ourselves, we are not benefiting Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If we stay away from haram, are we doing something great, some great kamal? There's no greatness in that. We are helping ourselves. If the mother tells the child that if you put your finger this side or you touch this hot iron, your finger is going to burn. Now if the child does not touch that iron, then it's helping himself. So in whatever Allah Ta'ala has declared as haram, or whatever Allah Ta'ala has declared as haram, when we stay away from it, we will be the one who will be the beneficiaries. We will be benefiting. And if we are going to engage and indulge in it, we will be harming ourselves. There is no goodness in anything that is haram. Whether it is rave club, discos, cinemas, theatres, interest taking and giving, adultery, fornication, drinking or gambling, anything that you look at which has been declared as haram, there is nothing in it but harm. So restraining from there, we will be helping ourselves. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that this man, he's a witness over that himself. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. His love for wealth is intense. This love for wealth being intense, we can see throughout the world that there is a kind of an obsession in gathering more and more and more. Whether the person is in parliament or is in cabinet or is in any department of the government or is in any kind of profession, whoever he may be, It seems that there is an obsession, that there is no end to our greed. Wealth is a very, very good thing. It's a wasila of akhirat, if it is acquired correctly and used correctly. But when there is no other maqsad behind it except being known to be the owner of so much of wealth, those people who are owning billions or millions, they've got sufficient for themselves to eat until their dying day and to live a comfortable life and for their children and for their grandchildren. But now they even want to worry about the great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. One old woman was asked that, how long would you like to live? She said, until I see a gold bangle in my great-great-great-granddaughter's hands. She's already old, but she says when will she see gold bangles in her great-great-great-grandchildren, which could take 200-300 years. So she wants to live till then. So this greed. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de, badal de dil ki duniya dil badal de, khudaya fazl farma dil badal de. So that hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de, which you keep hearing in the majlis of zikr. That is what it is. When there's hirs in the heart, then there's no end to it. A person makes the passion of his life the accumulation of wealth. And it gives him great satisfaction to say that I own so many buildings in the country and so much of foreign investments and local investments and so much of wealth I've got. And I own luxury boats and I own this and I own that and gold mines and silver mines and oil wells. There's just no end to it. There's nothing wrong if the person is rich. Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Auf was very, very rich. But look at their lives. Their hearts were not attached to that wealth. And this is what I've been repeatedly saying, and that example I've been repeatedly giving, that you need water for the ship and the boat to sail. And not little bit of water, you need plenty of water. The bigger the boat, the more the water you need. You need the ocean waters for the huge ships to ply. But if the need for water makes us believe that we should rather put it into the ship, because the ship cannot sail without water, so it is very important that there should be water. So now let's put it into the ship. So then the ship will sink and the passengers will also drown. And they also will sink. So there is a need for that water. So accumulate, so use the water, but don't let it enter the heart. Now that is what the purpose of this majlis is. That the ni'mats that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed us with, then we make use of that ni'mat, but we don't allow the wealth and the worldly and material things, the love of that to enter our hearts. All the fitnas and fasad of the world, all the quarrels and all the fights and all the arguments, and the split up and the division in the families and everything else, if you have to look at it, the major cause is this, what Allah Ta'ala is saying. إِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. So therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells us, what should we be doing? Then we should think of the qabr. If that is the case, then think of the qabr. Just to conclude it without going into any details, times about expiring. The qabr is a thing that is a reminder that no matter how much the person has accumulated outside, but inside the qabr is going to be nothing. He is going to go just with his kafan. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is talking about the resurrection on the day of judgment. Everybody will be once again given life, and they will have to answer for their doings, account for their actions. And whatever is in the hearts also will all be exposed and it will come out. And Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of this person. He, as he was aware in the worldly life of his, is still aware there too. And his punishment and all will depend on all those actions and deeds of his. That is the message that Allah Ta'ala is giving. So therefore we should think daily of our qabr and our mouth and our janazah moving in some direction. And the husal of the mayyat being given, and that suddenly the angel of death can come and take over life. Suddenly.
यह एक कब्र पे बेकसी बजुबान हाल है कह रही यह एक कब्र पे बेकसी बजुबान हाल है कह रही तुम्हें आंखें चाहिए गाफिलो मुझे एहतियाज बयान नहीं
They are burying somebody. Go there, stand, watch. Look at the body being laid to rest in the qabr. And then just picture all what the person has left in the outside world. The only thing that he has taken is his actions, his deeds. The kafan too is there for modesty to cover him for haya purposes. Otherwise there's nothing. So if he has taken with him good actions, good deeds, then the day of Qiyamah when he will rise also, there will be nothing but goodness. And that was one of the first share that I heard from Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatum, Shaykh, in his bayans. In his bayans, brings about a lot of ashar. But the first one that I heard, or the first bayan that I heard, that was what I heard. Which you have heard also many times.
Malo aulad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi. Malo aulad qabr mein teri jaane ko nahi. Tujhko dozakh ki musibat se chhudane ko nahi. Juz amal قبر میں کوئی بھی تیرا یار نہیں جز عمل قبر میں کوئی بھی تیرا یار نہیں کیا قیامت ہے کہ اس سے تو خبردار نہیں
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد يا رحيم يا كريم يا ستار العيون غفار ہم گنہگار ہے سیاہکار ہے بدکار ہے مجرم اور خطاکار ہم سب کچھ ہے بندے مگر تیرے ہے میرے مولا تجھے چھوڑ کے ہم گندے جائے کہاں Where do we go, my beloved Allah? If you have to turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness, then my Allah, where can we go? Which are the doors there that we can tap? Which are the home we can pay? Ya Allah, forgive our major sins, our minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. We are ashamed, my beloved Allah, of our sins. Hum nadim hai, sharminda hai. We are not justifying any of our sins. We are acknowledging indeed we are the most sinful ones on the surface of the earth. Day and night we have used your bounties for your disobedience. How much of our sight for your disobedience? How much of our hearing and speech for your disobedience? How much of our wealth for your disobedience? My beloved Allah, you dearly love forgiveness of sins of the sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. Ya Allah, we are turning towards you. My beloved Allah, forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members and ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering of the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aaj koi unka pursane hal nahi. Mere Allah, everyone is out to destroy the ummat. Ya Allah, some are destroying the morals of the ummat. Some are destroying the wealth of the ummat. Some are taking the lives of the ummat.
Ya Allah, there is nothing but suppression, oppression. Mere Allah, ummat ki hal par raham farma.
Don't look at our weaknesses, our shortcoming, our faults, our sins, our vices and our evils. Look at your shan of being Rahim and Kareem.
Mere Allah, tu Rahim hai, tu Kareem hai. Tu Sattarul Uyub, Ghaffarul Zunub, Allah hai. اے میرے اللہ, ہم سب کو صحت دے, عافیت دے, سلامتی دے, عزت والی زندگی دے. امت بہت ذلیل ہو چکی میرے اللہ. اے میرے اللہ, امت بہت ذلیل ہو چکی. کب تک امت کی ذلت ہم دیکھتے رہیں گے؟ مائی اللہ, ہاؤ لانگ آر وی گوئنگ ٹو سی, how long are we going to witness the suffering of the ummah? We know we are the major cause of the problems of the ummah. But my beloved Allah, you are Rahim, you are Kareem, you dearly love forgiveness. And you have all the power and might to change the condition. Ya Allah, change the condition of adversity to that of prosperity and happiness. Change the condition of weakness of the ummah to the strength of the ummah. اے اللہ, ان کے مشکلات کو, پریشانیوں کو, غم اور تکلیف کو دور کر دے, اسپیشلی ان پیلسٹائن, عراق, افغانستان, کشمیر, پاکستان, صومالیہ, سوڈان, تھرو آؤٹ دا ورلڈ مائی بلوڈ اللہ, پیلسٹائن. یا اللہ, سب کی تکالیف اور مصیبتوں کو دور کر دے. حاسدین کی حسد سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, فتین کے فتنوں سے حفاظت فرما, مفسدین کے فساد سے حفاظت فرما. My beloved Allah, make us yours and become ours. Make us yours and become ours. کوئی مجھ سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں, میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں, وہ ہو جائے میرا, میں ہو جاؤں اس کا. یہی رات دل کے دعا با. یا اللہ, جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا عطا فرما. Whether they are amongst us in hospitals and clinics, give them shifa. Purify us from all sicknesses and diseases, spiritual and physical. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove their difficulties. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those children have gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Rasool-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption, fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us. And the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires that are in the hearts of each and every one who have raised their hands before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, at short notice they came for the dars of the Quran Sharif. Ya Allah, fulfill their good wishes, good desires and aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the problems that each and every individual who has raised his or her hand is undergoing. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul 'alim. Wa tub 'alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala 'ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.